What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E with you. It is a really, really busy Tuesday. It's Texas OU week and zeroing in on the game itself on Saturday, but a lot to do between now and then. Of course, tomorrow, Buck, we'll be out at Hay City Store and Ice House. We won't, but the other
shows.
Well,
I'll come by. I'm coming by and say hello.
Well, I'll be out there for sure most of the afternoon. That's where else would I rather hang out on the Wednesday of the Texas OU game? My buddy Travis and Tamara and the team at Hay City Store and Ice House. The midday show will be there. Afternoon show, Ball Don't Lie. All the way to 7 o'clock, and it'll be a lot of fun. It's always become an annual, rite that we do. We get out to Hay City, we enjoy some great food and fun, and cold Bud Light or two, and then get ready to get up there because on Thursday morning, right here in this spot, Buck, at 9:10, I'm going to make picks head to head with Dave Paul, and I'm happy to report that we beat Dave Paul last week. I went 3-2.
There you go. He went 2-3. There you go.
He went 2-3.
Wing fans, get your food.
NC State hurt me, though. NC State. I had the 6.5. And
yeah, you guys had me fooled on that one, too.
But I did. How about
the costly one?
I had two of my picks were the Friday night games last week. I had UCLA, and I had Tulane going into the weekend, which came home strong. But, yeah, I went 3-2. He went 2-3, so we'll have wings the next home game.
Awesome. You people are so wrong. I don't do go to the cabinet. Get heart pills, back pills, head pills, neck pills, and then socks. No.
No.
I get that after I put my shoes on.
Well,
I do.
Right.
I go socks, shoes, then my pills.
Good health is a priority.
Absolutely.
But I will also say that when we do talk to Dave Paul, right after we make our picks on Thursday morning in this spot, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the game in the Cotton Bowl. Thank you, and courtesy of our friends at Pluckers. So we'll do that coming up on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday we'll be at the golf tournament up in Dallas. We'll make our way up the big dash to Dallas. And I've got a running challenge. I've been told pretty clearly we can't make it a drinking game in the car because it's an open container conversation.
No, you can't do that.
You can't encourage you to
break
the law.
That's when you get to your destination.
But if you were able to play a drinking game in the car, which you can't, it would be fun to do it while counting Bucky's billboards. I mean, the next drive up to Dallas – I mean, if somebody can give me an accurate number, you know, I bet you could is Craig Way because he makes that drive so often up to do the high school show and back and forth. But I made the trip on Sunday up and back, and I can tell you if you just look and count the Bucky's billboards, it is, if you could drink and drive, not drink and drive, but drink in a car that's driving with the open container, you would be plastered by.
Oh, that one where you're the passenger and the car drives by itself. You remember that one that you were
into? Your self-driving car.
Oh, that thing?
Sign me up for that.
No, I'm passing on that thing.
Give me a 12-pack and a self-driving Tesla. I'm in.
I've not seen one yet still. I want to see one.
Well, if you started this in Round Rock with the Bucky's billboards and you took a chug every time you saw a billboard that was Bucky's, by Willie Nelson's hometown of Abbott, you would be way beyond.
Really?
Yeah. You'll notice that on your trip up. We're also getting you ready for the game. Brett Venables will meet the media today. Is it going to be Dylan Gabriel, or will it be Davis Bevel, who was the backup quarterback last week, and he was not good?
That's the deer in the headlights guy, young guy.
Well, I just, again, this is not just to be overconfident at all. It's just, I would have said this before the injury to Dylan Gabriel, said this before the season. The biggest issue for Oklahoma is going to be if their quarterback gets hurt. Because, you know, when Texas lost Quinn Ewers, they had Hudson Card ready to step in. But Texas, in their time, has had issues, and they know this. When you lose a starter who the offense is built around and the backup is just not – that's where they are right now. This is a program at Oklahoma that lost Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams to the portal. Who was the kid that transferred to TCU out of that program while those two guys were still there? Because remember, when you had Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams, you had good quarterbacks getting out.
It was Mordecai. He went to SMU.
Yeah, Tanner Mordecai got out of there. They just were empty at the quarterback room, and so Dylan Gabriel saved them. I mean, when Brett Venables came in and brought Jeff Lebby, that brought Dylan Gabriel, but the quarterbacks that are there aren't very good, and the offense doesn't suit them. I mean, the kid Bevel is like big 6'6" guy, he doesn't move.
But I had already had Texas winning this game anyway.
What's his? Well,
I think that was one of the games we I mean, if you picked to go into the year when you said it'd be 8-4, you know, I thought 9-3. This was a game that you still, I think you had Texas winning.
Right. I do.
Even no matter who the quarterback was.
I just don't know how, because who's the other kid? The Booty? The General Booty?
General Booty.
I'm sure they'll get, again.
Getting his snaps this week.
And then the flip side is that, you know, because for me, look, watching the first few weeks of the season, right, you think, okay, well, Oklahoma's pretty good. I saw them play Nebraska, and they throttled the Cornhuskers. And you're thinking, all right. And their offense is going to be a handful. Their offense with Dylan Gabriel in charge, handing it to Eric Gray, throwing it to Marvin Mims. They've got some dudes. I mean, that's a handful. If you take Dylan Gabriel out of the equation, and they don't have a quarterback, and then their defense is – I mean, you can make some improvements on defense, but you can't fix some of those issues.
Oh, no, not some of the issues, especially they have in the secondary right now.
There's a talent issue.
And once again, they lost a lot
there.
Of talents to the NFL. Not just Lincoln Riley taking guys, but they lost some players.
A bunch of guys off to the National Football League. And there's just a lack of talent in key places there, and you don't just snap your fingers and fix that if you're Brent Venables. Now, can you play better? I mean, they had blown coverages last week. They had missed tackles. I think they had 20-some missed tackles last week. By the way, the leader in the Big 12 at forcing missed tackles on offense is Bijan Robinson, far and away the leader in the Big 12 conference. And then you have a team in Oklahoma who's the worst tackling team so far in the Big 12.
Yeah,
that's not a good combination.
This should be a big weekend for him.
To Bijan Robinson's elusiveness, we all know he is. How about this stat from Pro Football Focus? The rankings for rushing offense and run blocking execution. Texas rushing offense is number one in the Big 12, according to PFF, but their run blocking execution is last. Which tells you Bijan makes people miss.
Oh, no, he makes. That's why I say two-on-ones. He generally wins those two-on-ones.
Well, Deuce Vaughn does that, too.
Yeah.
At K-State. But the quarterback, Adrian. The K-State has two of the top four rushers in the conference.
You just don't get those squared-up shots at Bijan. You get a lot of side shots. And he does a lot of bouncing off. When you hit him in his hip area and his thigh area, he bounces off a lot of that. You know what I mean? For him, you got to wrap up lower, just like, I mean, I guess roping a calfie. You got to get down there low and grab both those legs and get him off. Because when you bump him and you think, you know, you're playing those bumper pool games where you can bump him and knock him off and knock him down, not so fast.
Well, look, even with a better defense last year, Texas put this game in the 40s, right? I mean, they scored 40-some points. Sark's going to score points with this offense against that defense, even if they improve this
right.
week. And Dylan Gabriel, I thought, at least gave him a chance to make it a shootout, which they did last year, and they won the shootout. And Dylan Gabriel's got some of that to him, and Jeff Lebby, because they go super tempo. But if you don't have the quarterback, then can they score with them?
They're going to want to run. They want to prove once again to their players, just
them.
Like, you know, everything runs through Lubbock, just like their coach. You know, you keep hitting them, keep hitting them, keep hitting them. They're going to want to run the ball. They don't want to give the ball to Texas this week, and they don't want quick scores against them, so they want to try to run some clock. And they, you know, their offense and their counters and all those things, I just don't think they have a strong running game anyway. I'm Kid Gray, I was never that impressed with him as a runner. He's just okay.
He's a good player. But he's not one of the elite running backs of the Big 12.
Like, no, that dude they had last year that was with him.
Kennedy Brooks?
Yes.
Good player. Texas terror. This says nobody makes a bad team look good quite the way Texas does. Well, this is another growing up maturity moment for Texas. If indeed they're heading in the right direction, we know mm-hmm. the Texas Tech game was two steps back, but the other games have been steps forward. This is a game where you walk in there, impress your dominance on a team.
Do you have the killer instinct? Is that in you? Is that in this Texas team?
Because this is a team we saw last week. If Texas gets up early on them, they'll go away.
I believe so.
I know that's blasphemy based on what we saw last year where they got up big and they didn't go away. You know, Lincoln Riley's teams always would fight you back. They'd always get themselves back in the game. We don't know that yet about Brett Venables.
I don't know. This team will have some doubts if they get down.
This is a program with a new
down.
Leader at the top.
Uh-huh.
Who, look, there's just a lot of things happening there. Now the quarterback's hurt. The defense, there's obvious talent deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball that they can't just make up for. And Brett Venables' scheme, they're trying to learn a lot. He's putting a lot in, and then they're going to have to simplify some things in that regard. But at the same time, you know, remember, one of my concerns for Oklahoma during the offseason in camp was Brett Venables was going full Junction Boys. Like, he was going,
oh yeah,
we're setting the tone. Like, you know, Junction Boy, hard practices, tough practices. Sometimes that works for the long term, but in the near term, there's just a total reversal of how you're used to doing
things.
You
come in here looking for them dogs, and you end up with a couple cats hanging
meow.
Out. Yeah, you got a couple of those hanging out in your
home. No, huddle. I mean, we've seen it at Texas over and over again that you're trying to – you get one time to instill your culture. You get one chance to do that. and Venables went really heavy.
And it took a beating last week. Let me tell you, that TCU game opened up a lot of eyes in the Big 12 to what Oklahoma is all about. Now, I don't think they get that back in 1 week, not without the quarterback.
And again, I'm not – it says, man, it was one awful game, guys. Keep talking. No, it's two awful games. I just watched the K-State game, too, where they put up 550 yards of offense and ran for 255 in Norman. Do not look at that. And I'm not – look, I'm not sitting here guaranteeing the Texas victory. They can lose this game if they don't go in on point. If they do, I think Texas will win the ball game. I expect to see the best version of Oklahoma Saturday. And whatever that is.
I'll see it for about a quarter and a half. That's what I expect to see it. I don't expect to see it around in the third quarter. I expect that depth of that football team will come into play, and I expect Texas to run that ball down their guts and make them hurt and make them pay.
We have breaking news from the Metroplex.
News. Mark is going to have to he's going to have to take the excess roads again.
It's not a new Bucky sign.
No.
Not another one, no. Breaking news from the Metroplex. Cowboy fans will be interested to hear this, that on the 105.3 The Fan this morning, Jerry Jones is having a live interview right now. And was asked the question, is Dak Prescott currently able to grip the ball with the surgically repaired thumb? To which he answered, no, not well enough to play.
I write the checks. He's not well enough yet.
No, not well enough to play was the quote from Jerry Jones this morning, which would indicate that he won't practice this week, which would indicate Cooper Rush is likely to get the ball on Sunday against the Rams.
It's time to do the money dance in L.A., everybody.
It's 4 points, Bucky.
Don't like that money dance. That's too much. 3 points? Maybe. Yeah, 3 points sounds good.
I could get there by Sunday.
Four? 4 points?
Yeah, well,
force me to take my Cowboys pick
again,
Super Bowl pick. Come on,
let's not. We got to make sure. And I think Texas football team and fans, we're doing a little bit of it right now. The whole prisoner of the moment conversation about what you saw Oklahoma play like in Fort Worth is not like they're going to play on Saturday. And the Rams team from last night, you know, don't expect that to show up against the Cowboys on Sunday, because typically when you're embarrassed like that, the pride kicks in. You know, especially for the Rams, and you're embarrassed on a prime time. Everybody's watching Monday Night Football game. They'll bring you the best, and that's the defending Super Bowl champion Rams. They won't play that poorly again. But let's also consider that the 49ers have their number, and the 49ers in their own division know them very, very well, and they've exploited that. Kyle Shanahan's won 7 of the last 8 matchups, I believe, against Sean McVay. Lost last year's NFC Championship game, but for the Cowboys and the Longhorns, the false sense of security idea can't happen. When I'm talking about Oklahoma and I see the deficiencies and you see them,
yes,
this is all incumbent. Texas has to roll in there and play just like they did for 3 quarters against West Virginia.
Well, and that's what I'm expecting. I know when that pride kicks in. I remember that in 5th grade when I was in North Carolina. My friend kept getting bullied by this one kid who was probably about 15 years old, Ty, and he bullied him. And then I just had enough, and I went up to him, and I moved my friend aside and said, let's go. And this dude hit me in the face, and I went down. And his first words were, stay down there. And I kept that pridefulness in me, just kept jumping up into 5th grade. And he would, bam, and right back down. And the third time, that pride just didn't work anymore. You know what I'm saying? He said, I said, stay down. And I just said, oh, you're right. I'm going to stay right down here. But I'll just let you know, I'll be back again. I'll be back some other time.
Well, this is what it's about. This, you're right. Oklahoma will fight in this game. They didn't fight against TCU.
No,
that's clear. And look, they have talent deficiencies. This is not to say they can't beat Texas. I'm saying clearly they have some deficiencies in key places in the secondary. Their linebackers don't flow to the ball very well right now. They don't have much pass rush.
Well, if you give them the ball, if you turn the ball over to them in a game like this,
well,
you'll
lose. They lost to Tech. I mean, I think Tech's better than Oklahoma right this second, but Texas lost to Tech because of their own mistakes. They built a lead and couldn't hold it, and we know that game. We've been through that storyline. But that could happen again if you're not ready to fight on Saturday. And as I said yesterday, the players and the coaches, the players will watch this film from the last 2 weeks, and there is a human nature idea of maybe getting a little overconfident that, oh, I got this. You better put in a great week of practice.
Hey, it's
Texas
football. Don't let them be human.
Because the Texas team we saw Saturday that came out and went 4 straight drives, averaging, or really 5 straight if you include the first drive of the third quarter, because the 5th drive was at the halftime, right? It went to half. But those five drives for 35 points, they were averaging 10 yards a play. They were precise. The execution was strong. Hudson Card played great. and you had a 35-7 lead. The defense was swarming and suffocating a good running team at Oklahoma, at West Virginia. I'm not going to assume, because people will talk about that the West Virginia or Big 12 also ran. Listen, I agree with what we talked about last week with West Virginia. That's a solid team. They've got an offensive line that's pretty good. They've got three good backs. They've got three good receivers, a good quarterback. Texas choked them out.
Yeah, and I expect this head coach who makes $5 million a year to be a head coach. I mean, in all phases, not just play calling, but understand what he has to do as a head coach in this football game.
Let's hear Sark on that, by the way, the fourth quarter offense, because he was asked about this yesterday. Texas got outscored by West Virginia 13-3 in the fourth after building that big lead. I do think there was some concession happening on both sides, but here's Sark on was he pleased with the finish this time around, even though they won the game easily?
Yeah, we didn't, you know, this past weekend, we didn't have this past week many ops. You know, the way the game went, we had the one drive there at the end that, I don't want to say we weren't trying to score, but the goal was to finish the game with the ball in our possession for the last, I think it was 6 minutes or whatever it was. So, you know, not a lot of opportunities in there, but inevitably, you know, you got to have respect for the game. And, you know, I just don't think it's right sometimes just to take another shot or do something along those lines. You know, I would have liked for us to operate a little better in the first drive in the fourth quarter when we got down there in the red area and we obviously kicked the field goal, but we had two possessions. But ultimately, man, we got to stay aggressive when the opportunity presents itself and we got to execute. You know, that's what's going to, you know, allow us to score when we need to in the fourth quarter.
Okay, I respect the game, and there was a natural. I mean, even West Virginia was trying to run the clock out. I mean, if West Virginia were on that other side, you know, running five wide, spreading it, kicking onside kicks and things. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, you know, they did score 13 points. They did get them, you know, make the scoreboard look a little reasonable. But I think, but again, that's a fair conversation because Texas has not finished football games, four quarters, and as you said, be a head coach. For four quarters.
Yeah, he's got to be a head coach for four quarters. And his players need to understand. I mean, where I would worry a little bit is about this offensive line at times. I mean, now these young guys, this is a different ball game that they're going to be in on Saturday. This is a lot different from the ones that they played, even the one against Alabama at home here. When they get up there, it's a different world.
Hey, listen, could it be like the Ohio State team this weekend up 49-10? And the punter takes off on a fourth down and gains 22 yards on a first down?
If need be.
Now, Ryan Day says that his punter, Jesse Mirko, went rogue. Like, it was his call. He saw the right side open up, or left side open up, and he took off running and got the first down.
The head coach is going to get blamed for that one.
Yeah, let's just say that Greg Schiano didn't like that. You're running a fake punt up 49-10.
No, you can't do that. Even the punter should know better than that, unless he's been a soccer player or something all his life.
You know who would like to see that this weekend? Texas fans.
Yeah, they would. They would love to see it. Go ahead, fake that punt.
Little Trejo.
Run, baby. Fake that field goal. Fake the field goal.
What's the score? 49-10. Score again.
Yeah, keep it going. I have no love loss for this group. None.
You know that Brett Venables, he's kind of excitable. He's kind of excitable.
Next time we see him at a Big 12 meeting, he'll be nice and quiet after this weekend.
No.
I'm predicting.
No.
He just doesn't know how to do that.
That guy makes Red Bull nervous. I'm just saying. He is a excitable guy, Brett Venables. And he'll have his team ready to play, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that this team will be on fire.
Will they be good enough, though? That's the deal.
That's the question. And
will they be good enough?
Because I do think Texas is the superior team talent-wise. But, yes, you got to play clean. You have to execute. If they do like they did last week, I think they'll be good. But at the same time, expect a much stronger fight from Oklahoma.
And another big early buck on to the Dallas Cowboys is the fact that Mike McCarthy has helped this group with these goofy penalties. You're talking about being in games where you don't have to see all this madness of penalties. Hey. You don't think that's not helping this football team in Dallas right now?
Well, that's where they're moving up power poles. Listen, last week the big part of that win over Washington were penalties. The Redskins committed 12, and they were costly. Killer penalties, big pass interference calls, and the Cowboys only committed 2 last week in the win. And that was big in a game that was, you know, kind of nip and tuck all the way into the late stages until the Cowboys blew it open. Penalty yardage big. Cowboys have seemed to have gotten their
hands around
that.
It'll be big in this game on Saturday with the emotions going too, E.
Oh, no question. We'll be back when we do. These conversations continue on a Tuesday of Texas OU week. Cowboys Rams on Sunday. Another football Friday of high school football action. We're loaded with you. Plus, baseball's playoffs right around the corner. Bucky's Phillies clinched the final spot in all of the post. Are they your Phillies?
No.
Come on, man.
Never have been. Sorry,
they're
Steve.
In. We'll set the table for postseason beginning this weekend. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Butcher Holler, Kentucky. The legendary Loretta Lynn, unfortunately, Buck, according to her daughter, has passed away at the age of 90.
Great one.
The great Loretta Lynn. Of course, her songs were frank about life and love and talk about women's empowerment before there was such a thing. And being a strong woman, I was just in Nashville, and we were at the Ryman Auditorium for a tour. And Loretta Lynn,
You've been to the Grand Ole Opry already, haven't you?
Not live, but that's where they do the Grand Ole Opry, is at the Ryman. I had not been there. That was tremendous. And the Country Music Hall of Fame is right there down the street across from the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. But talking about a pioneer of music is Loretta Lynn. She has passed away at the age of 90. We also told you off the top of the show the sad news, and this is from UT. Hard to believe, but tragic nonetheless, that Tiffany Jackson, a UT women's basketball player, a legendary basketball player, owns a lot of the records at Texas, played for Jody Conrad for four seasons. She passed away yesterday after a battle with breast cancer at 37 years young.
Wow.
Terrible. I mean, gosh, Loretta Lynn lived to be 90 and lived a great life, but 37 years young for Tiffany Jackson.
Got to keep battling cancer. Can't stop trying to find ways to prevent it. Changed my life with the death of my mother, believe me. Her best friend who had breast cancer when she died changed my mother's life, which changed my life.
Yeah. Too soon for sure. And Loretta Lynn passing today. She is, you want to talk about someone who would give you the middle finger, man, because she was told you can't sing those things. You can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't sing that. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Of course, her remember hit "Don't Come Home a Drinking with Lovin' on Your Mind."
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And she indeed was a coal miner's daughter. I love Ken Burns documentaries, and I love documentaries in the first place, but music documentaries in particular. But his 7-part series on country music is must watch. I mean,
she's in there a lot, I would think.
She is. Well, it's a history lesson. You learn a lot about there's political angles to it of how things have formed. I mean, country music is not just about the songs. It's really about where it came from and immigrants bringing country music to the South and it growing. I mean, blacks in country music early that never really got to the credit for what they did. I mean, it's a tremendous documentary, and it takes it all the way to modern day and now. But Loretta Lynn, a huge part of that. I would check it out if you get a chance. Or get to Nashville. Nashville's a fun town. And go see that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, so we got Texas and Oklahoma. The conversations of the week, and that's going to be the thing, right? The two teams coming in different places, but you have to expect a barroom brawl, essentially, on Saturday morning.
Do you expect that Nick Saban will let up on the Aggies this weekend?
No, much like I think last week in the Longhorn locker room, you had Joey McGuire talking about Texas will break on a loop. I'm assuming Nick Saban on his phone somewhere has a loop of Jimbo.
No, they're friends now. That feud is over with. Jimbo says the feud is over on his part.
No.
No, not at all. Mm.
You don't think he's replaying that Jimbo, what he had to say about Nick Saban?
Oh, my God, about golfing?
No.
That one?
We know what went on between those two, and we'll play it coming up. But Jimbo Fisher was none too, because it was Nick Saban who started it, of course, when he was at that fundraiser talking about they paid for every player. They bought every player in the recruiting class.
Every player.
And we know that we'll revisit that tomorrow on the show because it takes a little bit of production ahead of time. But listen, we were on this show that morning when Nick Saban had said those comments the night before. And then right about this time, we got word from College Station that Jimbo Fisher had called a press conference for 10 o'clock. And you knew fireworks were coming. But I will say this. We left to go and went home, and I heard it, and I couldn't even imagine that that's where the fireworks were going. That Nick Saban, that Jimbo Fisher was going to start throwing everyone under the bus and talking about, oh, I've been there. I know how you operate. I know how things go there. I mean, everybody in college, all the coaches that have ever coached for Nick Saban were like, oh, are you believing this? This is crazy. This is Jimbo's lost his mind. But they're going to meet on the football field. And I don't think Jimbo's going to – or Nick's going to let up.
No? No let up?
Will he have his quarterback, though?
I don't know. That other dude can run the rock, though.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe is a pretty good player out of Katy, Texas.
Aggies not giving up much resistance these days.
Well, the Aggies' defense is going to be their only chance in that game. I mean, their offense is remedial and getting worse. But, you know, the thing that remember, they lost to Mississippi State right before they beat Alabama last year and looked ugly doing it at College Station.
You know, last week I saw the Alabama linebacker, the great one, against Arkansas, the way he played.
Will Anderson.
I can't believe Will Anderson played so horribly against Texas.
No, he did not have a good game.
Wow. Man, he was everywhere last week.
He was, and he's going to be the number one pick in the draft in the NFL in April that's not a quarterback. I think that's fair to say. I would also say one of the top picks in the draft next April is expected to be Bryce Young, which is why they're going to be very careful with him. And I don't know. And Bryce Young and his advisors, they're not going to rush this kid back, and he's not going to rush back on the field with a shoulder problem on his throwing shoulder. That would be not wise. Now, Nick Saban downplayed it yesterday. Nick Saban talked about it being day-to-day. It's not a season-ending injury. They're going to monitor him. But, you know, Steve Sarkisian has been calling Quinn Ewers day-to-day since, and we haven't seen him in a month, right? So, you know, could this be the same scenario with Bryce Young, that it's day-to-day, but it's really going to be Jalen Milroe for the next 3 weeks? Because if you injure your AC joint, which it appeared is what happened, you're not just running back on the field and playing quarterback in college football.
No, not in a week.
You're at least a couple, 2-3 weeks, maybe a month down. And yes, Jalen Milroe can man the...
Yes, he can.
He can.
From what I saw last week.
Well, and they'll just run the ball. I mean, but the Aggies are real good run defense. I mean, the Aggies can really... And much like we're talking about with Oklahoma, I mean, I expect to see the best version of A&M.
Yeah, but that kid's not just a runner like Bryce Young's a runner. This is like a running back.
Well, he's more Jalen Hurts-ish.
Yeah, well, he's faster than Hurts, probably. Probably just as fast as the damn running back that took off for two long touchdowns
Jahmyr
for Alabama.
Gibbs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you would imagine the creativity of Bill O'Brien, has that ever been put together? But, you could go to some zone read stuff. You could go to some quarterback run packages that were, not Bryce Young special. Though Bryce is a great scrambler.
Right.
And
you don't want him running. This kid is a
tank. Jalen Milroe, yeah, let's go. And you put Jahmyr Gibbs next to him. And we know here in Austin, and we saw it again last week, they'll go to two running back sets where they're flanked with Jahmyr Gibbs and the other back. I mean, now you got three backs, and now what are you doing if you're A&M?
Gibbs is fantastic out of the backfield catching.
Tremendous, yeah. Yeah, this says Saban going to put D's on that A forehead. Oh, she says Loretta Lynn sang a song about the pill before you could talk about the pill. No, she was ahead of her time, and Loretta Lynn passing away. This says Bucky, I'm feeling confident. You're going to play. Oh, Gary Hargroves, I've got burnt runny through my veins. I don't know what that is. Sorry. This is Niners. Got to love the Niners. Don't doubt them. And you like the Niners, Buck.
I do.
Maybe the second best team.
By the way, I saw Boza on one of those X stunts, those deals where he came from way outside all the way inside E and got to the quarterback. That cat is fast.
You coached his dad.
The Pops.
Nose. The nose Boza.
The Noza.
The Noza.
John Noza. That's what we used to call him, John Noza.
If you start ranking NFL defenses, number one for me would be the Niners.
Yes.
They've allowed a grand total of 46 points in four games. That's good. And they've only won two of those games, which that's not good. If you only allow 10 points a game and you're losing a couple of those, they lost to the Bears and they lost, of course, to the Denver Broncos 11-10. Second best defense is the Cowboys?
Yes. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers third.
What about Denver? Dude. Don't sleep on the Broncos.
How the hell did they get to be 2-2? How did they win two games? How did Denver win two football games, that group?
Well, Nate Hackett, the coach, hired a dumbass coach to help him with game management.
He called the dumbass coach in.
And their defense has been great. The Denver Broncos, they were the ones that beat the Niners 11-10. Their secondary is outstanding. You don't throw on them.
No.
Caden Stearns, the former Longhorns, a part of that deal.
He's doing really
Patrick Surtain. They can play on the back end, but I would still put the Cowboys up there as the number two defense in the National Football League. How are they 2-2? They beat Houston and they beat San Francisco. That's how they're 2-2. Lost to Vegas this week and lost to Seattle. But is there a defense that's close to those two? Is it Philadelphia that would be in that conversation with the Eagles?
I still believe the thing that holds Dallas back is that one cornerback, Brown.
Well, remember, it was the rookie that stepped in and actually played really well this week, had the interception for the Cowboys late in the game to kind of seal the deal. The rookie out of, where'd they draft him? Who's the rookie corner that got the pick last week?
26.
There,
Bland?
Yes.
26 undrafted. Or 29, is he?
26.
26, yeah.
Undrafted rookie, yeah.
Oh, he was undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought he was a draft pick late in the draft last year. But, showing out. And that was a great situation for the Cowboys because he didn't find out he was going to start until Jordan Lewis pulled up lame in warm-ups getting ready for the game. Jordan Lewis couldn't go, came out of the blue, and so Deron Bland's in there and played really good, had a pick. And we know Stephon Diggs, he had a pick too. You know what he's going to do. Yeah, I think Niners-Cowboys right there. And that's, after we watched week one against Tampa, it would be hard-pressed to believe that. But the Cowboys are, as they get better on offense, they're going to get Dak Prescott back at some point. That defense is wicked good. We'll be back. When we do, we'll reset these top stories. We're going to tee it up and get you ready for the rest of your Tuesday here on B&E. It is B&E on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. It is a busy Tuesday, and it's going to get busier as the week goes on. As we said, tomorrow it'll be Hay City Store and Ice House all afternoon. Should be a lovely afternoon and evening out on the under the oak trees there. Of course, Midday Show will be there, and of course, Ball Don't Lie will be there tomorrow. It'll really launch our Texas OU week. Looking forward to it. You know, tomorrow's a Wednesday, Buck. That's where we drag you up over the hump and start looking forward
to the
big game.
All about the positive, man.
All about the positive, and but Texas has got to get that mean on. We need to get that Joey McGuire re-racked, and that needs to be playing again this week. And a reminder that Texas will break, because that's what it's going to take in what's going to be a fight. Now, there was
– Texas going to hammer time.
And be listening today. Lock it in, because we've got Brett Venables in his weekly news conference. He does his on Tuesdays. So we'll get the thoughts on Dylan Gabriel. There was some video of him on the field and throwing the football around yesterday at practice, but Venables was clear that he's still in the concussion protocol. Unlike Mike Leach, I guess he didn't lock him in a shed. I practiced yesterday.
Wow.
Did that ever actually happen? That was an allegation, it was Craig James' son who did that on his own. Didn't
I think
he
wanted to go in the shed because of the light.
Well, Leach,
I saw the light.
Well, remember, it's a sunny day and sunglasses are supposed to be worn if you have a concussion because it gives you the headaches. And
he said, "Go in the shed."
Go in the shed.
Kid went in the shed.
And then he said he got locked in the shed.
Dumbass kid went in the shed.
But I think it's been uncovered that it was a setup by Craig James and the four hookers.
I still don't get that story.
I don't either.
Where's that story?
There's an allegation of.
I thought Kevin Dunn started that story.
Well, it was like an old lore that was it at SMU with the pony excess and four hookers.
Did he have to kill a hooker or something?
I don't know. It's ridiculous. Hey, so, this is going to be a busy week. We got, Thursday Night Football this week, Buck, is going to be your Super Bowl pick, the Denver Broncos, hosting the Colts.
There's another one I wish I could take back. Let's go, Cowboys!
Who are you taking in the AFC now, if you're dumping the Broncos and their dumbass coach?
How about the Chiefs? How about them Chiefs? How about them Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah,
remember,
Mahomes,
once he got married and got rid of his
little brother.
His little brother's not TikToking all over the place. We haven't even heard about him anymore. Did he tell him? Did he not go to the wedding?
Patrick put him on ice.
Did he tell him? Did he not go to the wedding?
He went.
Okay, he was invited to the wedding.
Brother would come to the wedding.
But no TikToking at the wedding.
Can I say this with the Chiefs? And, it was Sunday night when he dissected the Buccaneers defense. And reminded everybody, because there's a lot of talk about Josh Allen, there's a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson and other quarterbacks, but Patrick Mahomes reminded everybody, hey now.
Man.
Who is your daddy? You guys can have them. Can I give you a little statistic factoid on the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? Do you realize they play the Monday night game this week? They'll be hosting the Raiders at Arrowhead Stadium. And do you know that Troy Aikman will be calling that game on Monday Night Football alongside his good buddy Joe Buck? In that game, if Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdown passes next week, he will pass Troy Aikman's touchdown pass total for his entire career.
What?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
In year number five?
Yes. He will go right past Troy. Now, we know Troy was a great quarterback, but he was part of that system, and Emmitt Smith gobbled up a lot of touchdowns and
yards. For sure.
But that just gives you the accelerated path that Patrick Mahomes is on. He's about to pass Troy Aikman on the all-time touchdown passing list, and he didn't even he started his first game in 2018, didn't he? I mean, he sat his first year, and he's about to go pass Aikman.
By the way, it's Tuesday, and I'm not afraid to say I'm doing the money dance with the horns this week.
Oh, no.
So y'all can get some of that.
Oh, no.
That's to show you where I am with this horns team.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
Oh, the Kool-Aid is already out on a Tuesday. Are you kidding me?
I'll just go
See them play? We keep talking about Texas and Texas Tech. Did you watch the Sooners play against TCU? You saw that, didn't you? That madness?
I don't expect to see that same Oklahoma team again.
Oh, really?
Not this week.
What are they doing? Just changing uniforms with somebody else? With the Packers?
It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. I think we'll see more fight.
Lots of cats on that field last week.
There were a lot of cats on that field last week. Hey, somebody said, hey, it was five hookers. Get it right.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Wasn't four, it was five hookers?
Yeah. Hey, listen, we'll do this again tomorrow. It'll be a drag you up over the hump Wednesday. We look forward to it. Start cranking up the great Oklahoma guests. We'll learn more from Brett Venables today on the quarterback situation there. Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns begin their prep, or at least really dive into their prep for the week. We'll have it all for you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Buck, have a good round today.
You got
friend.
It, man. Hit them straight.
What's your number?
What's my number today?
Yes.
At Ramrock?
Yes.
94. Good day.
Give or take three or four strokes.
Yes.
Ram is a ram it in your you-know-what
yeah,
kind of golf
yes,
course.
Yes, it is.
Out at the beautiful Horseshoe Bay Resort. That is a difficult golf course, one of the toughest in the state. Have fun with it. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Thanks to Ty. Thanks to Buck. Thanks to you. Craig, Jeff, and Snoop are next. Light the tower.
Issue on 620 and 360 has been signal light malfunctions, and folks, we are still backed up Capital Texas Highway from Westlake to 183. Also 620 both directions, Anderson Mill to about Boulder Lane. So again, we're still dealing with that. It's been going on for the last little while. Southbound I-35 near Breaker, a reported crash. That's a new one. Back up to Palmer. Research headed toward Burnett. Back up to Lamar. And of course, that is a crash too. Northbound I-35 headed toward William Cannon. Earlier wreck clearing, but a lot of residual delays through there. So we're looking at all kinds of heavy traffic here as we head toward 10 o'clock, and normally that is just simply not the case. Mesa at 2222, an injury crash reported at that location. Final clearing, southbound frontage of Mopac right there near Palmer Lane. I'm Don Miller, and that's traffic.